Life is an interesting thing, isn't it? You never know sometimes what's coming around the corner. We have, as you have been told earlier, a giving bin in the foyer. And as you have been instructed and given information today, if you look out there, I can just look right now and see it. It's overflowing. Okay. And does Jesus tell us in his word that we are supposed to be caring for those that are less fortunate than us? Yeah, you know, he says, hey, did you visit me in prison? You know, did you feed me when I was hungry? All those things. So we're doing what God wants us to do by reaching out for the love that God has given us for others. That's part of becoming a follower of Christ, is your heart is opened up by the Holy Spirit, and he is putting in there love for other people. And so that love needs to be demonstrated. If it's going to be an agape love, a unconditional kind of love, then we want to demonstrate that love by reaching out to other people when we see them and they have needs. And how many of you have been anywhere around this area and you see sometimes homeless people, right? You know, and a lot of times, they have signs and you can stop by. And so it used to be that was a deal for me. I would see somebody and if they were holding the sign, you know, I'd find a way to stop and talk to them. Almost never did I actually just give them money. But I would also ask them, you know, have you eaten and can I bring you some food? You know, and what would you like? And sometimes it's pretty interesting to say, you know, they're pretty specific about what they like. Okay, well, we can drive over there. I don't mind. But then it led me to think this, and you know, people that need Jesus, they may look just like you. They may not be looking like a homeless person. They may not be sitting in some encampment somewhere because they don't have any of the privileges that we have. Or even you go to a documentary or see on the news, you know, some of the other countries that are destitute and don't have the same standard of living that we do. And it's pretty easy to point those people out, right? We can look at them and say, yeah, man, maybe you need some new clothes. Maybe you need to take a shower. You know, maybe you're hungry and you got your little sign. But people who need Jesus aren't walking around with a little sign. But they need Jesus more than they need that. Now, we're happy to give them that, for sure. No question about it. But you don't need a giving bin. You are the giving bin. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your bin is full. You just got to get your hands in there and start handing it out. And every one of you has people in your life that needs Jesus, and you're carrying around the bin with you. Give it to them. Find a way to share what's most important in the history of all humanity, and that is people who need Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is going to be no event more important. Every one of us is going to come to the end of our days at some point. You better have Jesus when that comes. That's the greatest need any of the people you see have. And you, if you are a follower of Christ, have the answer. And the bin is full. Because the Holy Spirit continues. You cannot get too much love. Because the more you pour it out, more comes in. So I'm going to ask you this week, find a way to share the hope you have with someone who needs it. Invite them to church. They need it. The world around us is lost and dying, and most of them are dying with no hope. And here we are having it. And so I ask myself, self, why in the past have you not been very good at doing that? And so I ask some people that question, and you get different responses back. But I don't care what they say. Sometimes I just don't understand the gospel well enough. You know, I don't know enough about it. And you know, but here's the real reason: fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what they might say. I'm afraid of the reactions. I'm afraid that they're not going to like me. I'm afraid they're going to ridicule me. Okay, so today we're going to talk about fear. And hopefully the result of this talk today through God's word will be the elimination of fear in your life. And one of those things would be fear to share the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to any human being with others. So we'll see. So here we have been going through this study through this event of the Tower of Babel. And you can think, man, this is just a few verses in Genesis chapter 11 tells the story, and we've been on it for quite some time, Tim. Why is that? Why in the world are you spending so much time on this? Well, here we have some people who came from, not that far back, from people who were riding the ark in this unbelievable, catastrophic, cataclysmic, supernatural event of the flood. Where'd that water come from? I don't know. It's never rained before. Where all these animals come from? I don't know. They just showed up on the door. And these people either were there, because they were still living a long time, or at least they were hearing from it from people who were there for a long time. This God, man, he's pretty spectacular. He did these things. And would you think if your grandfather was telling you about some supernatural cataclysmic event that happened, would you not pay some attention to it? Well, maybe not. Because they weren't. And so God had given him a clear directive, go out. After, I mean, look, this was like do-over, and so I'm going to send you guys out. I'm going to spread you out. I need you to go out and propagate the earth. You know, we need to fill this thing. I made it for you. I'm going to spread the animals out. I don't know how they all got to, you know, how did kangaroos get to Australia? I don't know. But God figured out a way to get the animals where he wanted them to go, and he wanted his people to go. And so here's this group of people coming from the sons of Noah, and specifically through Ham, who had had some problems there. And so the line of God's people wasn't coming through him. And so here they are, and they don't know Jesus, or they don't know God. They don't know Jesus either yet. And they go out and they don't do what they're supposed to do. And so instead of doing what God's plan was, they did some other things. And so that, you know, that's what we've been talking about. But are they looking for, you know, this is the abundant life. We'll go to the next one. Are they looking for the abundant life? They are. They're, you know, I don't care whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian. You're looking for some sort of all the things people need, meaning and purpose and identity and love and acceptance and security and hope and satisfaction. You need all those things, and you're all looking for it somehow. And so they were doing that, and they were doing it instead of God's way. They were doing it man's way. And so the result of that was instead of going out and doing what they wanted or doing what God wanted, they did what they wanted, which is to find a really safe place that had all the resources they needed, build themselves a city, put walls around it to protect them, and build this tower on their way back to glorifying God their way. Okay, so here we see it. And they said to one another, come and let us make us bricks and burn them thoroughly. Because they wanted to be, these are hard bricks, they've been burnt. And they had brick for the stone. Instead of stone, they were using this mud that they'd made human bricks out of them. And then this bitumen for mortar, which was tar. And then they said, okay, come let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, pride and selfishness, lest we be dispersed over the whole face of the earth and not be safe. And so we're going to build this thing because we are searching for some security. One of the things that they were looking for in their quest to find the abundant life is, I need to feel safe. How many of you need to feel safe? Yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. It's one of the most powerful motivators that there are. They were making this city with walls, trying to find a place where they could go and not be attacked by wild animals or other people or whatever. I'm going to build some security by putting up these walls around us and make ourselves feel secure, because after the fall, it became very apparent to human beings, this is not the way it's supposed to work. And the second generation Cain and Abel murder enters the picture. I'm not safe here, man. Hold on here, God. I belong to you. I'm Abel. I did the right thing. And still, he was murdered. And so security becomes a big thing. It is part of the soul need that you have. Deep down inside, I need to feel secure. I need to feel safe. And I crave that feeling. And fear is the opposite of that. Why am I'm fearing things? Because I know this world I'm living in is broken. It's painful. It's violent at times. And it's disturbing, this peace that I'm trying to find, because I'm afraid. And it is one of the most powerful and crippling emotions. So here they were, seeking the abundant life, but they were seeking it the wrong way. So here I went through and I did the study and I'm thinking, okay, where did they go wrong? Where exactly did they go wrong? Because they were trying to achieve the same goals that everybody else is trying to achieve. And did they look in the right place? No, they didn't. They were looking to themselves instead of God to fill all these needs in their soul and to have this security, one of those things. So we look at them and we say, okay, where did they fail? They did man's will instead of doing God's will. They did it man's way instead of doing it God's way. Okay, and then they were committing the sin of selfishness and pride. They wanted to make a name for themselves so we could be the cool kids. And look, we want people to respect us, to serve us, to honor us because how good we did on our own. And then they were demonstrating no faith in God's plan because they're telling themselves, I'm guaranteeing you they're telling themselves, God has this plan, like go out here and go way out by yourself and start making cities of your own, you know, but just a few of you and spread way out. No, that doesn't sound smart at all. I don't have any faith in that. No. I'm going to put together a plan that makes a lot more sense to me. And it's a whole bunch of us are going to gather ourselves together. We're going to go to this really close place that's flat and has lots of resources, and we're going to build ourselves a city. Now, that plan makes sense. And then they're relying on their own efforts, man efforts, to find security. And so, you know, and then there's the last one. We'll get to that next week, hopefully. So I'm asking myself, well, what has this got to do with us? I mean, we're Christian people. Well, we do the same things. And so this is, and hopefully you're doing this. This was here as I'm looking at these things. What did the people in Babel do? Well, they did these things, and this is where they went wrong, and there were some consequences, and God, no, I'm taking care of you. But I got to look at myself and examine myself almost on a daily basis, because guess what? Jesus died, and he died so that you could be reconciled to God, and that you would have an eternal destiny that could never be taken away. But Jesus also died so that the Holy Spirit could inhabit your body, could inhabit you as a person inside with your soul and start transforming you into the image of Jesus. And then Jesus also died so that we could, he said, I come that they may have life and have it to the abundant. Okay, so God says, I want you to be mine. I want you to be like me. And I want you to experience the abundant life while you're here. That's part of what my son paid for that. That's part of what I'm making available to you. Are you experiencing the abundant life? Well, you know, what is that? You know, if it's like I'm there's nothing bad that ever happens. You know, I got all the stuff I want. Everybody likes me. Nothing bad ever happens. I got all the resources I want. You know, I got all the houses and the cars. I got all that stuff. Is that the abundant life? No. It's not the abundant life that God was talking about. God says, here's what I want for you. I want those needs of your soul met, but they're going to be met by me. I want you to have peace. I want you to have assurance. I want you to be confident. And I know life is hard. But within that, you can still have this abundant life. But here's what I'm going to tell you right now. If you are struggling with doing your own will instead of God's, If you are committing the sin of selfishness and pride, if you are demonstrating no faith in God's plan, and if you are on relying upon your own efforts to find security, you are not going to live the abundant life. And so I looked at those things. I said, man, here are some major, major roadblocks for Christians to miss out on the abundant life that God made available for us at the cost of His Son. And if I am not examining myself on a regular basis, I'm probably in this camp. And I'm not going to get what God expects. You know, He paid for me to have this abundant life. And so I got to start asking myself on a regular basis, are there times when I'm not really asking God for His will and I'm just doing my own thing? Am I sometimes sort of selfish and prideful? Do I sometimes not do things out of faith, but I just do the things that I already know I can do, and I already know what the outcome should be, and I feel pretty safe in doing it? And am I out there putting stuff around me, building walls around my own life for security purposes instead of relying on God? And I think we need to be asking ourselves that on a regular basis. God wants us to do it His way. Abandon selfishness and pride and die to yourself. Do God's will instead of your own. Trust in God, have total faith in His plan and His methods, even though it might be scary and even though it makes no sense. Would fear get in the way of that? This is not a rhetorical question. Would fear get in the way of me doing God's will and abandoning the selfish pride that I have and then doing things in faith instead of doing things I already know? Would fear be a problem for those other things? It absolutely is. It's the same way every one of us doesn't go out every day and share the gospel with every person we can find is because we're afraid. The reason we want to do our own will instead of God's will is because we're afraid we're not going to get what we want. The reason we're selfish and prideful is because that's inherent in us and we don't want to die to self because we're afraid of who we might be. And we're not doing things in faith because sometimes they're scary. Sometimes the outcomes aren't clear. Sometimes God asks us to do things that we're just not comfortable with, and it means moving outside that comfort zone. And God, I'm afraid of that. And so don't ask me to do stuff, just scary stuff. Don't ask me to leave my job and go down to some little hokey town in the coast of Oregon and start a church that isn't even there. I don't want to do that. How am I going to pay my bills? How's it going to work? I want the details before I go. Fear is your worst enemy. So we need to figure out, how do we find security God's way? And how do we eliminate fear from our lives? Okay, so the kids come up. Sorry. They're already gone. They're already down. Okay, never mind then. I waited too long anyway. Okay. I thought maybe I should do this first, but then it wouldn't make as much sense. All right. Sorry, you guys, to keep in. And hopefully the people downstairs are having coffee or something. All right. Okay. This would be you. Aren't you cute? I mean, you guys are just so cute. All right. This is you. All right. Here we go. This is you, and you're going to be there. Now, even though this is a penny and it has Lincoln's head on it, it does not look anything like God. All right, but it is. We're going to say this is God. And since you've accepted Jesus in your own life, He's going to be right here with you. Okay. Can you see Him? Can you see Him? You see Jesus? He's in there. He's in there. And does the Bible tell us He's in there? Yeah, oh, He tells us He's in there. Okay, so how many of you have ever had anything scary happen to you? Yeah. Was it always better if your mom and dad were there at the time? Yeah. Or maybe they're what you're scared of. I don't know. Sometimes I ran away from my mom and dad. I was scared of them, but I deserved a whipping.
Me too.
Yeah, sometimes. Okay, but most of the time, it's great, right, when your parents are there. And then things aren't quite as scary. So is it important for us that God is there for us? Does he say that? So it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, don't be frightened and don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? God's always with us. He's always with us. Now, so here we go. And let's just say this is kind of the trouble and difficulties of life. And here I am in this little glass, you know, and this is you. Now, you can stay there close. Now, look. Can you see? Is God there?
Yeah.
Did you see me put him under there?
Yeah.
Is he still there?
Yeah.
Look down in there and see. All right, now back up just a little bit. Oh, what happens now? Do you see him? Nope, don't look down. Don't look in there. Look here. Can you see him?
No.
Did he leave?
Yes, I see him.
I see it.
Yeah, well, if you were back the way I was made you, you wouldn't be able to see him.
Do you?
Is he there?
Yeah.
He's still there. Look, let's look. Is he there? He's there.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes when troubles start happening in your life, it seems like, yeah, it is under there, isn't it? Yeah. You see him? That's God. He loves you, and he's in your life. But sometimes when troubles happen, we don't see him. And sometimes, even David said, God, where are you? I'm going through all this trouble. Where are you? Was God always there? He is always there. He promises us that. So it's right there. That's Joshua 1:9. It was one of my favorite verses growing up. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, because God's with you wherever you go. And so even when we can't see him, because we know that the Bible is true, we know that God is there. And that is so important. It is more important than you can understand. Because sometimes when life is really tough, God, where are you? And I can go to God's word and say, well, he's right there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay, so you guys got to remember that. Trust me, scary stuff is going to happen. Bad stuff is going to happen.
I've already got that verse memorized.
Yeah, good for you. Memorize all. That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, I already
know. Yeah, I know. You guys probably know the whole 23rd Psalm. But it's going to be really important. Bad stuff is going to happen. I mean, I wish I could tell you it didn't, but it's true. That's what the Bible tells us. In this world, you will have trouble. And so we need to know all the time that God is there, that we don't have to be afraid, because our Heavenly Father, who's in control of everything, is always right there with us. And even when bad stuff happens, which sometimes he allows, sometimes he causes, but he's always using it for our good. That's what he says. Okay, so we have to know Jesus is there, even when we can't see him. And sometimes you won't be able to see him. But you have to know he's there. And so we'll just lift it up, and there he is. You know, even when we can't see him, because the water refracts the light a different way and you can't see it, it reflects it straight up. And so if you look down, even with the water in it, you can see him perfectly, can't you? But when you get off to the side, and that's where we want to stay, right in tune, over center, looking down and knowing that God's there all the time. All right, now go downstairs before the people give up. So that's a lesson for all of us. Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? This is God talking to Joshua. He's about ready to go into the promised land, and he has to beat a bunch of people and drive them out of the land. And God has said, look, I know this is scary. There's more people in there than you by a lot. But I've given you this land, and the victory is yours, but you're going to have to go in there and do it in faith. Whoa, hold on, man. I've seen that land. We've scouted it out. This is not a good thing, God. Yes, it is. Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And they go in, and you know what? Sometimes they try it on their own, and does it work? No, it doesn't. You know, but when they do it God's way, when God says, I'm giving you the victory, and they go in, then they win. It's very, very easy to be afraid. So we're going to look at some things, I think. Yeah, here we go. I got to get on the right page. So fear and safety, fear and security. Let's look at the following question, because fear is one of the most compelling emotions that you're going to have. Now, does God create us to have responses to actual dangerous things? Well, unless you're a teenage male? Yes, they do. God says, no, don't drive that car 95 miles an hour around a curve where you can't see what's coming. And he gives us these responses. So we're going to be looking at, is fear a good thing or a bad thing? Well, sometimes it is the response that God created inside of us physically to deal with danger, and that's a good thing. That's what God wants us to do. Okay, so that's the physical part of fear. And so humans, I'll say this, humans, why are we afraid? Humans are afraid of things that they think may cause harm or death. When people experience fear, they become equipped with a psychological response to notify them of imminent danger. A threat stimulus, such as the sight of a predator, triggers a fear response in the amygdala, which activates areas involved in preparation for motor functions involved in the sense of fight or flight. It also releases this hormone of stress and activates your nervous system. Okay, so is fear when the lion is charging you a good thing? Yes, it is, because God says, I'm going to give you some extra juice here, dude. You're going to run, or you're going to fight. One of the two. So we have the fight or flight response, and we recognize that sometimes fear saves us, again, unless you're a teenage male, from doing really stupid things, knowing what the outcome might be. So it isn't always bad, right? So fear is given to us from God for certain responses. He's given us some things inside of our bodies, how to respond to dangerous situations so that we don't have to suffer the consequences. But what about the other kind? The emotional fear of pain and loss and failure and humiliation and betrayal, and being judged by others, and being rejected, being unloved, or I'm afraid of the future because of what might happen. See, those are all things we're constantly trying to deal with, and we're afraid of them. And why are we afraid? Why are we afraid? And what those are the things that we're afraid of. We don't like pain. We don't like humiliation. We don't like to be rejected by other people. We need to be loved. We don't like betrayal. We don't like to be judged by others. We don't like to fail. The fear of failure, all of those things are real, but they are emotional responses inside of us that cripple us from doing those other things that God wants us to do, doing His will instead of your own, doing it in faith, getting rid and dying to yourself so you can get rid of the selfishness. All of those things that God says, I will do in you, and you can then experience this abundant life with peace and joy and confidence, regardless of what's going on around you, if you can get rid of these fear responses to these emotional situations that are going to happen. Are you going to be suffering pain at some point? Yes. Emotional pain? Yes. Are you going to lose things? Yes. Are you going to die? Yes. Are the people around you going to die? Yes. Are you going to fail? Yes. Sometimes are you going to be humiliated and betrayed? Probably. Are people going to judge you unfairly? Yes. Are you going to be rejected at some point? Yes. Are bad things going to happen in your future? Yes. But God says, you don't have to be a slave to your fear, because it's going to keep you from doing what I want you to do and what you need to do. What I want for you, not from you. What I want for you. I've created this pathway to the abundant life, and I paid dearly for it with my son. And you're going to miss it. And fear is going to be one of the greatest roadblocks. And that's why these people from Babel, they went and built this city because they were afraid of their environment and what might happen. And so on their own, man's way, they're building walls instead of relying on God. So how do we deal with our fears and insecurities? We build our own walls. What are those? What are we doing here? These emotional fears and insecurities, what do we do? How do we respond? Well, we talked about the fight or flight, right? Well, sometimes we just run away or we fight, and that's this physical thing that God's given us. But what about the emotional ones? How do we respond to these fears? Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we are frustrated. Sometimes we get bitter. Sometimes we just deny that there's anything wrong so we don't have to think about it. Sometimes we lash out in anger when we're afraid. Sometimes we just withdraw into our own lives to protect ourselves, right? I don't need relationships with others. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to have to be responsible for anything. I just want to save. I'm going to stick in my own room, maybe pull the covers up over my head, and maybe that way I'll be safe. Or I just give up. Or I hide. Or I revert to perfectionism. I've seen this in my own life. People that are just perfectionists because they don't want to deal with the consequences of failure. And so I'm going to make everything work out. I'm going to try really hard, and it's going to be my thing doing it. Everything has to be perfect because I can't stand it when it's not. And so they gather resources around them. You know, I was in the cabinet business in the very high-end residential. Most of my clients were millionaires, some of them billionaires, and they could basically have anything they want. And one of the things I always saw was they're creating resources around themselves to be ready for the inevitable bad stuff so I can stop it from happening. Paul Allen had everything he wanted. Didn't save him from dying of pancreatic cancer. We can't do it. But this is how we as human beings respond to our fears and insecurities, by trying to build human-made walls, emotional things, instead of doing it God's way and eliminating the fear by trusting in God. And so the last question, what does God say about these things? Well, it says in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Get the thing. You may have peace. That's the abundant life. Okay? I've told you this thing. He told all the stuff he's going to do and why he was there and what was going to happen. And I told those to you, my followers, so that in me you'll have peace. But I got to tell you this too. In the world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. But God's not trying to give us some sort of false picture of what life is going to be after we become a Christian. Nope. No. Forget about the circumstances. They're going to continue to be bad. Troubles continue to happen. And in fact, you're going to be on the wrong side of the God-devil equation here. And the devil is not going to like what you're doing. And other people are not going to like you for what you're doing. And you just live in a broken world, and you're broken too. So some of these things are self-inflicted. But trust me, it's still going to be a hard road. That is not what I'm promising you. Here's what I'm promising you. First of all, this, your future is absolutely certain. Now, it says this in a number of places in the Bible, that we are supposed to keep this perspective. As we go through the troubling times in this life, we need this perspective so many times. So many times I have to just forget about what's going on and focus on what's going to happen when I'm done here. We're all going to die at some point. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God, according to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again into a hope that is living regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the fact that we're going to physically die. God, through his mercy, caused it to happen so that now I have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. Now, how much of that do you see relies on you? Zero. He caused it to happen so that now I have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for me, which is a good thing, because if I had to haul it around, I would lose it. And now I, who by God's power am being guarded through faith, which he gave me, for a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. See, your eternal destiny is secure. That should give you some peace and confidence, knowing that even though this life is hard, I know where I'm going. And sometimes I have to rely on that to get through the other. Never forget it. Think about it. Read it. Go downstairs after church and say, I want to memorize 1 Peter chapter 1. They'll help you. Our future is certain. What else do we know? That God is with us at all times. We saw that with the kids' lesson. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though, if you're not walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now, you will be. But I'll fear no evil, not even death. Not even death. Because I know you're there. I know that you're there in the rod, in this, you know, I think this, the one of them is the hook, shepherd's hook. And the other one is a stick for a little bit of discipline. Your rod and your staff. Ooh, really? Yeah, they comfort me. Because I know God is there and I know he's the good parent. And sometimes he has to discipline me, but I know he loves me. And then here it says in Psalm 27:1 from David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Do we need to be afraid? Is God always there? Is he always with us even through the hard times? Is he always working things together for our good? Is he always there available with peace in the midst of the turmoil and the trouble? Yes, he is. But only if you rely on him. Only if you go there. God promises to be our fortress against fear. Psalm 18:1 and 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See, God knows we need walls. God knows we need to feel safe. But if you're trying to create those walls from your own doing, it's never going to protect you. But here it says, God, you are my fortress. You are my stronghold. Where do I need to go in the midst of the pain and the fear of this life? This is the only place that's going to provide you security. You can have all the money. You can have all the resources. You can have all the friends. This is the only place that can protect you from the tragedies of this life. They're still going to happen. But in this fortress of Jesus Christ, you can find relationship with God. You can find a transforming power inside of you. And you can find the abundant life, not a slave to fear, when you give those things to Jesus. And then finally, I guess finally, what's the answer? What's the next step? How do I get there to this place where I don't have to be a slave to my fears anymore? When I can make Jesus and not my own doing the fortress that protects me, the fortress that gives me peace. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Trust the Lord. See, that's where the faith, if I'm going to have this abundant life, if I'm going to get rid of the fear, it's going to have to come through faith. I'm going to have to not just know God, I'm going to have to trust God to keep me in this fortress and in his hands and not lean on my own understanding, my own wisdom to try to figure it all out and find a way out of the trouble and find a way to protect myself. Quit doing it. God, I'm over my head. Okay, come on in. Trust me. Trust me. I'm with you. Always. We're going to ride through this thing together. It's going to hurt. That's okay. I'm here.
Since I'm here, all of my promises are true. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, I have to say, God, these troubles are bouncing me around like a ping pong ball. I can't stay on track. Well, guess what? Acknowledge me. Trust in me. I'll make the way straight. And then finally, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So that's the Holy Spirit he's talking about. So I have to recognize that I have to be living by the Spirit. Because if I'm living by the flesh, I'm going to be succumb to all those other things that were on the original list of not doing God's will and not having and having pride and selfishness and not doing things in faith and not and having fear all the time. Because I'm living by the flesh, using my own resources. And God says, no, I gave you a spirit that's there to transform you into the image of Christ so that you can have this abundant life, but you got to live by it, which means dying to self, which is another thing I'm afraid of. But he's given us this power of love and self-control, leading us into this path to peace. So what do you got to do? This is another one I think you should memorize. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Does that mean we can't ever get messed up and out of control? No. Does it mean we have to, though? No. It means exactly the opposite. See, but are you carrying it yourself? Well, no wonder you're afraid. Are you trying to handle it on your own? Well, no wonder you're afraid. No wonder you're not having faith in God. No wonder, because you have to trust him, and then you have to say, God, this is too big for me. Come take it. And guess what he says? I'll do it. Cast all your burdens on God, and he will sustain you. So there's an answer to not living your life afraid. And whether you admit it or not, if you were to ask yourself, how many things on a daily basis do I do because I'm afraid, or I'm seeking security, or I'm looking to fix things on my own, or I'm looking to make sure that none of these bad things happen to me? And you can sit there all day thinking, well, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? Well, what am I going to do if this happens? Now, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be prudent, right? It doesn't mean you're supposed to be an idiot, not supposed to plan for the future. But we can live in anxiety and fear all the time. And God says, no, you don't need any of that. I'll take it all away from you. Stuff's still going to happen, but I'll take away your anxiety and your fear if you'll just give it. If you just give it over to me. Kill your pride and recognize you can't do it on your own. And give it to God. And get rid of the fear that's in your life. Let's pray. God, we are fearful beings. That's for sure. We're afraid of everything. And we don't need to be. And we know from your word, Lord, that that's true, that we don't have to carry all this stuff, that we don't have to be afraid, that we don't have to, we're not alone. Lord, help us to see it, to examine ourselves and see, Lord, God, are we being controlled by our fears? Because it's certainly difficult to walk the walk of faith when we're constantly afraid. So, Lord, take those fears from us. Put us squarely down the path of your will in faith and see what a miracle our lives will become. In Jesus' name, amen.